Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahapuran, discussing Ras Lila, chapter 30, we're on verse number 3, maybe we'll cover number 4. And so far what we're finding is that Shukamuni is revealing the response of the gopis, the emotional response of the gopis losing sight of Krishna. He became invisible. So the first 3 verses are describing their sorrow. They're very upset and distressed at losing Krishna's darshan association. Then they started thinking of him. First they were devastated with disappointment and unhappiness and sorrow. And then they started, that emotion, that feeling kind of dissipated. And then they started remembering Krishna in a positive way. And they started thinking, remembering his smiling face, his smita anuraga, his smile is full of anurag, and his ikshita, and his playful glances, and bihar ikshita, verse number 2. Very playful glances, full of pastimes. And now, again, we're hearing the whole chapter for 44 verses in chapter 30. Shukadeva Goswami is describing the setting, the scenes, the movements of the gopis, because the title is In Search of Krishna. So first they're searching for Krishna in their hearts and they're unhappy. Then they start searching for Krishna in their minds and they're remembering him. And then they're, as they remember him more and more, they become bewildered, vibram, which we heard yesterday mentioned twice. Then they become pramad, which means extremely mad. So that then finally, they start searching for Krishna, actually moving, and then taking on the mood of Krishna and the very leelas of Krishna. So this is text number 3. Gati smita prekshana bhashanadishu priya priyasya pratiruda murtaya asamaham asavaham twit Yavalas taratmikan yavedishu Krishna vihara vibrama. Translation. Because Krishna's beloved gopis were absorbed in thoughts of their beloved Krishna, their bodies imitated Krishna's way of moving and smiling, his way of looking at them, Krishna's speech they were imitating, and Krishna's other distinctive features. Deeply absorbed and immersed in thinking of Krishna and maddened by remembering his pastimes, the gopis declare to each other, I am Krishna. Then one gopi looked at another gopi, I am Krishna. Another gopi, and then she returns, I am Krishna. And no one's challenging. It's not like here, if you say, I'm big, and say, oh, I am big, and then there's a fight. Okay, you're Krishna, I accept that, and I'm also Krishna, and the other gopi accepts that. By the Yoga Maya's arrangement. So this is the situation. Now they finally become so absorbed in Krishna. Again, this word is taratmika, which appeared yesterday's verse. Their atma, their entire being was fixed in that one, tad, Krishna. Jiva Goswami Pad gives some beautiful insight into this verse, which we can read. And he mentions here, as per the standard, they comment on particular words. Actually, before I do that, which is usually the flow and the krama, the sequence, we introduced a new krama or a sequence yesterday in the Pravachan by doing something that we did years ago. Before we go deep into the commentaries of the Acharyas and add a few words of our from our side, by the mercy of our Guru, Parampara, Parivara, and Krishna. But let's take a look at the words themselves, the Sanskrit words and what they mean and what kind of feelings they convey and what kind of images and pictures that they create in our minds when we hear the description. Gati smita prekshana bhashanadishu. Krishna's, they're prekshan, ikshan means looking, and basha, basha we near brajavasha. So they're talking like Krishna, they're remembering Krishna's smita prekshana. There's different ways of looking or glancing at someone, glancing with happiness, glancing with joy, glancing with anger, glancing with envy, glancing with jealousy. There's different ways. So here it says smita prekshana. They're glancing, their glances are smiling because they're trying to capture the smiling and anurag of Krishna's heart, which was mentioned yesterday in verse 2, that Krishna was, they remember that Krishna is looking at them with anuraga smita. Intense loving mood is coming from his eyes. So now when they say, I am Krishna, one gopi looks at the other and says, I am Krishna, then she has to have those same loving glances of Krishna. And the same, so that in the same speech, they're trying to imitate his speech. So you can imagine the abalas, they're called abala. Bala means strong, like Balaram, Bala. But abal means not so, they're strong. Women are strong in heart and strong in mind and strong in determination, but generally here and here, they're not so physically strong. So abala means weak in the physical sense. But they're not that weak because they conquer Krishna with their love and they control Krishna. So that's the ultimate power. If you can control the source of all power, the Parameshwar Krishna is controlled by a little 14-year-old girl with very thin arms like lotus stems. And she can't lift dumbbells and barbells and all these things, but she can lift milk pots and water pots, which are really heavy, and manage to get them to the where they have to go. So they're imitating Krishna's speech. So they're abala, they're ladies. So ladies' speech is high and Krishna's speech is deep. So you can imagine when ladies, like men, try to speak like ladies in some drama, then they have to affect a high-pitched voice. Well, then if women try to depict a man in drama, then they have to adopt, go some octaves down the scale. Hey, I am Krishna. And the gopis, oh yeah, you're, because this is Bhashanadishu. So beginning with his glances and his speech, because that's what captures everyone. Everyone is captured by the glances and the speech. Someone looks at you with very romantic and interested eyes and attracted eyes, and you're registering something in your mind that it seems there's some, let's say, chemistry going on here between the two people. And then if some speech comes, then it will be sealed and confirmed. Because you get the message from the face and the eyes, the ikshana, smita prekshana, but then the bhashanadishu. So beginning with the glances, the gopis are looking at each other like Krishna, I'm Krishna. Then they speak, oh, Priyaji, you're so beautiful. You're so talented. Because bhasha means speech. So they're imitating Krishna's speech. So one gopi is, I'm Krishna. Oh, gopi, you have such beautiful black, long, beautiful black hair. And oh, gopi, you know. So then they're speaking in a deep voice and all kinds of flattery, which indicates that they're really in love with this other gopi that they're speaking to, who also thinks she's Krishna. So again, remember, the overriding theme of the discussion is we're describing madness, pramad. This is how mad ladies or gentlemen, how they think and act. And here it's transcendental, it's divine. And hearing about this is purifying and elevating and transforming and will bring us to the platform we desire, which is the service of Radharani's lotus feet. Because the gopis, they show the way. The gopi bhav anugata. That's line one. So then, Priya Priyasya, Priya Priyasya Pratiruda Murtaya. Priya Priyasya Pratiruda Murtaya. Priya Priyasya Pratiruda Murtaya. Pratiruda Murti, Priya Priyasya. Remember, I was saying yesterday that there's a theme, many themes in the Bhagavat, because the Bhagavat is a rasic shastra, especially the 10th canto, but throughout. And also there's teaching. Shukamuni is teaching Parikshit and all of us how to become liberated, how to attain perfection. In Parikshit's case, 7 days. In our case, it's Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. 7 days and 7 months and 7 years and 7 lifetimes Nityam Bhagavata Sevayat Bhagavat Yutamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Naishtaki means like try to break a diamond. Hira money. Hira money, no breaking. Not possible. So this bhakti, Bhagavat Bhakti, becomes like hard as a diamond. Naishtaki. This is what it means. So, therefore, woven in the context of various rasas and various degrees of bhakti, sarup siddha bhakti, and so many types of devotion described in the Bhagavatam, are teachings and tattva and philosophy, and you're not the body, and the forest of material enjoyment, and the living entity is passing through here, and all the whole thing is there. But here, even here in the 10th canto, you'll find tattva vichara, which is the truth and reality of the absolute truth, his supreme divine position. Then you'll find the intimacies and sweetnesses of his divine Nara Leela with his most romantic, beautiful devotees in Braj, especially the gopikas. So there's Leela and tattva. And then also I made another point. This is a review because some people are starting today, which is the beginning of the Kartik Vrata also for us. But to speak more katha, and to follow the line here, we started on Niyam Seva. Because the more the better. I think so. At least for me, it's good. I get purified. So this too, what's floating through these verses, especially here, Radharasa Siddhanidhi or other Rasa Shastras, Vrindavan Mahimamrita, and Bhagavat by Shukamuni, you'll see in different lines, you'll see yugal. This, when we're reading about the Ras Leela and what other Leelas we have, Brahmar Gita and Veno Gita and Yuga Gita, wherever Krishna's interacting in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam with the gopis, chapter 21, Veno Gita, and then this Ras Leela, 29 through 33, and chapter 35 is Yuga Gita, chapter 39 is Viraha Gita, and so a couple Gitas in the Ras Leela also, Pranaya Gita and Gopi Gita, and then a Brahmar Gita in chapter 47. So whenever there's discussions in Sanskrit, it doesn't look ostensibly or outwardly, it does not look that, oh, here's Radha and here's Krishna. The verse may be only describing the gopi's thoughts or Krishna's thoughts or whatever. But then if you see the acharyas and the rasik jan, when they're commenting, they just can't, it's impossible for them to separate Krishna from Radha. So even in the lines of the verses, when they're fully focused on and describing the characteristics or nature of Krishna alone or Radharani, if it's only a verse about Krishna, Radharani will slip in. If it's only a verse about Radharani, Krishna will slip in. So those that are discriminative and trained and sensitive, they can get the indication from the tikas of this mystery and magic within the shlokas, or by their own bhakti perception, they will come jumping out of the verses like, wow. So this is a very clear one. Priya and the acharyas also point us in that direction to start us thinking like that and create that type of sanskara. Sanskara means a tendency, a way we move and a way we think. It becomes deeper and deeper and deeper. So the studying of Rasa Shastras, the only purpose is to bring us to the point of bhava. And to platform bhava, then we can experience and relish Ras. So it begins with one step. Appreciation, study, surrender, sarusanga, learning from Guru at his lotus feet. Then everything goes smooth. Priya priyasya pratiruda murtaya. So this is yugal. Priya priyatam, priya priyatam, shri shama sham. Shama sham, Radharani is shama, and Krishna is sham. And priya, oh, that dear beloved one is priya. And then priyatam is priya uttam. You know, kanishta, madhyam, and uttam. So uttam means top, uttama. So priyuttama, because Krishna is looking at Radharani and holding her chin and lifting her chin with one hand, and he has his other hand on the back of her head, right on his head, and he said, oh my Priya, oh my dear one, oh Priyaji. And she's looking at him in her special way that Radharani looks, and she says, oh my Priyatam. In other words, I may say, you're great, you're very great. And then you respond by saying, you're the greatest, but you're the greatest. In other words, one above the other. So then, no, really, you're the greatest of the greatest. And this, and you can see this going on in Adi Lila chapter 4 of Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Radha and Krishna are having a competition of who can glorify the other one more, who can put the other one more forward or more up, or who can make the other one more happy. This is the dynamics of immaculately pure transcendental divine love. May find something like that in the material world, but good luck and I wish you the best. You can try and look as much as you can, but you save a lot of time by just opening the Bhagavatam and finding the real thing, which will take you there in that land of love and pure harmony and bliss forever. This is the vehicle. This is the Vahan. This is the Viman of Bhagavat. Krishna Sada Mopagate Dharma Ganadi Bhisaha. Krishna, he left in the juncture of Kali Yuga and Dwapara, but the sages said, what are we going to do? You're the Dharmapati, and you're the everything, and now you're leaving. And no. I will be in the Bhagavatam. I will be there. Puran Arka Dunodita. Puran Arka Dunoditaha. He says, this Puran, Ark means sun. Konark, you've heard of Konark and Puri? So Konark, Ark is a name for the sun planet, Surya, Aditya, Ark. So, Puran Arka Dunoditaha. Oh, Krishna, you're leaving this planet. And when you were here, everything was Krishna, Surya, Sama, Maya, Hai, Andakar. Everything was brilliant and bright with your effulgence and your presence and your Leela and your beneficent activities and teachings. And all of Dharma was spreading everywhere and everything was sattvic and beautiful and harmonious and full of light. And now the Kali Yuga is coming, all darkness. We know the Puranas from previous Kali Yuga, so much darkness and ignorance and all terrible dark things. Where will we find the light of knowledge? Where will we find the light of your wisdom, the light of your guidance, and the light of your presence, your Prabhav, your Jyoti Prabhav? Jyoti Prabhav means the light, the Jyoti, the light, the effulgence of your power, your effect. Aramse, Aramse. Krishne Sadam Upagate. I am going Sadam, Sadam Upagate. I am going up to my own Brajadam. I'm taking everything with me. I'll leave you Govardhan Hill, I'll leave you Jamuna, and I'll leave you Brajaraj. But everything else, whoosh, out. All gopis, all cows, everything. Puranarka Dhanoditaha. Last line. In this Bhagavat Puran, the Maha Puran, it is like the sunshine. It is brilliant as the sunshine. And Dunodita, you'll get all light from the Bhagavatam. The light of knowledge, the light of bliss, the light of love. They have phrases, my love light is turned on. That's an English phrase, American. My love light means I'm beaming and radiant with love for you. So Krishna says, he's saying that. So therefore, in this Priya Priyasya, the light of this verse is that this is a clear expression. In this verse, we find Radha and Krishna coming together. The verse is externally all about the gopis. The gopis are absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna. With their bodies, they're imitating Krishna's moving and smiling and looking at them and his speech and all his different features. And they're thinking of him so much, they become taratmika, one with Krishna in mind and one with body, one in consciousness, one in everything. Atma, very selves. And then they say, I am Krishna. So it's only the gopis. But Priya Priyasya means Priya Priyatam. Pratiruda Murtaya. Murtiya means the gopis are the very form. They are the embodiment of Pratiruda. And Pratiruda means Adiruda and Mahabhav. So this is Rudabhav and Adiruda. Ruda and Adiruda. These are degrees of the greatest love. So in one line, we have Priya, Priya Priyasya, Pratiruda Murtaya. We have Krishna. We have Priya Radharani. We have Priyatam Priyasya, Krishna, Priya Priyasya. And we have Rudabhav. Rudabhav Murtaya. Murti. The gopis are the very form of Mahabhav, and they're expressing that from moment to moment, step after step. Pratipadam purnamrita swaranam sarvatma snapanam pram vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan. As you chant Hare Krishna and progress in bhakti bhajan, and pratipadam purnamrita swaranam. Pratipadam means step after step. Purna amrita swaranam. Swarana means to taste, to relish, to experience. Bliss. Purna amritam. Purna amrit. Purna means complete. Amrit means complete bliss. This is the offering and the of the Harinam Sankirtan, verse 1 of the Shikshastakam. This line 2. Something I can over you. Is okay? And line 3 is Asavaham Twityabalas Taratmika. This word again comes Taratmika and Abalas. They're very weak, it says Asavaham. That even here, here's Asavaham, says he and I. So again, it's Yugal. Asav means Krishna, and ham means me, and Abalas. So he, Asav, and I, Aham. And who am I? I'm very weak. I'm Abala. I'm an Abala. In the Rasa Shastras, by Acharyas and by Shukamuni, oftentimes the gopis are described as Abala. It's a very beautiful word in Sanskrit. That just means that it's a glorification. It's not like, oh, you're a weakling. You know, you have no power. It's an insult if you say that. But for the gopis to say Abala means that you're very delicate, you're very gentle, you're very beautiful. Because if you say to a man, oh, you're Abal, say, oh, yeah, we'll find out. So you don't go to a man and say, ah, oh, you're so weak, you know, you can't even lift your, you know, shoes, you know. Say, oh, acha, you know, let's find out. So they'll be like this. So the gopis, but for the gopis and for the lady, for the fair gender, to say, oh, you're Abala, is a very beautiful sounding word, and it's a praise. And that's what Shukamuni is saying. He's praising these gopis. So on one side, they're Abala, but then they're Taratmika. So to have the power to enter the form of another person, that is a mystic city. There's 8 different mystic cities, and one of them is to become smaller than the smallest, Anima City. Anima City means so small, you can enter the form of another. There's an example of that in South India in recent history. I'm a little sketchy about the names and stuff, but I think it was Ramanuja Acharya. In the biography of Ramanuja Acharya, there was some kind of debate with some Grihastha Acharya, and the person, the Grihastha, asked him some question, technical question. Maybe the names are wrong, but the story is correct. The challenger was a Grihastha Acharya and a pandit, maybe the guru, the Rajguru, the guru of the king. So the king said, you know, he had a debate. This is my Rajguru. If anyone can defeat him, then they get become the Rajguru or whatever. So then Ramanuja was debating him, and he was winning. So then this very clever pundit, he's the Rajguru, he's the guru of the king of this South Indian province. He asked him a question, a technical question of logic or whatever, that would require him to have been intimately associating with his wife. And he was not married. So then he said, all right, give me one day, and we can continue this conversation tomorrow. So everybody in the audience, including the king, thought, because he said, okay, I challenge you on this point. What are this and that? And it would be impossible for any brahmachari or vairagi or sannyasi to answer this question, because it would only, that answer to that question, it would be a byproduct of direct experience, pratyaksha. And he didn't have that, being a celibate brahmachari. Do you follow? You follow me? So he said, give me one day. I'll come back tomorrow. So that night, then Ramanuja, maybe the name is some other acharya, I believe Ramanuja, by his mystic city, because he walked on water. He had so many mystic cities you can see in his biography, Ramanuja Acharya. So he became smaller than the smallest, and he entered into a body of a king, a nearby king who had 100 wives. And he spent the night in the body of that king, doing what kings do at night when they're not fighting in the day. And you can fill in the blank. So then the next day, he came for the argument. And everyone was thinking, this sannyasi, this Ramanujacharya, he's finished. He's defeated. And so they said, so the king says, so let us begin the discussion where my Rajguru left off. So there's a question on the floor. Ramanujacharyaji, you please address this question. So first the Rajguru spoke. And then Ramanuja spoke, and he soundly defeated him, perfectly defeated him. Ramanujacharya ki jai. So this is an example of anima siddhi, becoming so small you can enter someone's mind. So there, Abala, I'm so weak. Because if you have that power of anima or mahima or all these different siddhis, you're very, very powerful. You have a very powerful mind and tremendous sanskaras, and have performed a lot of difficult, hard austerities over many lives and get those type of mystic cities. So here are the little Avala gopis that carry water pots. They're the greatest mystic yogis in cities because they have this power to enter into the mind of Krishna and become Krishna. So that's Avala's Taratmika. So that's line three. This is Yavadishu. This is line three. Line three is interesting because the last syllable of line four is interesting because the last syllable or akshar of line three continues to the consonant. The vowel continues to the next consonant. So I'll give you an example. This is line three, text three, chapter 30, 10th canto. Even that's asavaham. It's called a sandhi. Asavaham twit. Yavalas taratmika, it ends with ka, but the ka goes kan, because the first letter of the fourth word is n, and then y. Asavaham twit yavalas taratmikan, yavedishu krishna vihara viprama. Because if you don't connect it, then you can't keep the meter. It's called the chandas. Because if you just read atmika, and then you read the fourth line, there's an n. And the N has to be pronounced. It's N-Y-A. So you might say, Nya, Nyavedishu, but then your meter, your it's called chandas, your meter will be up. Nyavedishu Krishna, you can do it, but this is a little law of Sanskrit. So the word is Yavadishu. And Yavadishu, it means they made an announcement. Yavadishu, they proclaim, I am Krishna. And then Krishna Vihara Vibrama. So in this Taratmika Bhav, that I am Krishna, every gopi is identifying with Krishna. Then they declared everyone and to the world and to all of us, I am Krishna, I am Krishna. And of course, in the Rag Marg, and although this is a principle in Vaidhi Sadhana, which is, we don't see much in Gaudiya Vaishnavas that are practicing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, but one principle that's mentioned is called ahangropasana. Ahangropasana. You see in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, aham agropasana. Upasana. Upasana means to worship. We say pancha devata upasana. Pancha devata upasana. Worshipping the five devatas. Surya upasana, Shiva upasana, Durga upasana, Ganapati upasana, Vishnu upasana. These are the five devatas. So now this, or we say, we're doing Radha Krishna Upasana. We're worshiping Radha and Krishna. So this Hungra Upasana means we're worshiping aham, me as God. I am God. And that you see, like for example, Shaivites. Shaivites, their Ishtadeva is Shiva, but the goal of Shaivites is Dvaitavad. Dvaitavad, and they want to merge into the Brahman. So then they all dress exactly like Shiva. They all wear three lines and they all wear tiger skin and they all carry a damru, ta 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 ta, and they all carry a chushu and they all wear rudrakshas. So we're worshiping Krishna, but not in a hungropasana bhav. We're not, I don't have a peacock feather and I'm not wearing a yellow turban, not walking around playing a flute. Some people do. I saw in Vrindavan one young man. And then wear a dhoti, and I don't stand all around all day in threefold bending pose and under kadamba trees. So the Shaivites say that's called a hungropasana, and that's the example is given that they identify that I am Shiva, Shiva is Brahman, and I worship Shiva, I will become Shiva. Same as that's the Shaivites. But then there's the other Advaitin, I mean Dvaitin, Advait, I was saying confused, Advaitins, they're Advaitin, other Advaitins, they worship Narayan, they say, I am Narayan, Namo Narayan, Namo Narayan, that I am Narayan, I am Vishnu. When they see each other, they say, Namo Narayan, all respects to you, Narayan. They say back, oh, Namo Narayan, you are God, I am God, we are all God. Have you ever heard this? It's very popular with Indian sadhus going to America. We're all God. And that's also true. That's a reality one can pursue and attain perfection. Brahmati, Paramatmati, Bhagavandati Shabhyate. Three ways. Paramatma, realization, or the Bhagavan, or the Brahmajyoti. They're valid, they're transcendental, they're spiritual, they're all eternal. So this is, the gopis are totally vibram. This last line, Krishna Vihara vibram. In their total bewilderment, they declared, I am Krishna. Then at once you say you're Krishna, what does Krishna do? He's Lila Purushottam. He's Lila Purushottam, which means he's the supreme master and enjoyer of Lila. So they all declared, Yavadishu Krishna. I am Krishna. Krishna Vihara Vibrama. So in that bewilderment, they're not Krishna, but they're a hunger pasana. They're all identifying and worshiping themselves and each other as Krishna and thinking of Krishna. Then they start enacting Krishna Vihara. They start enacting Krishna's pastimes. So this is some of the indications and moods and leelas just in the verse number 3. So now we had some introduction to the Sanskrit shloka, which we'll read again in the translation just to get us centered where we're going. Kati smita prekshana bashanadishu priya priyasya pratiruda murtaya asavaham twitya balastaratmikan yavedishu krishna vihara vibramaya. Translation. Because Krishna's beloved gopis are absorbed in thoughts of their beloved Krishna, their bodies start imitating Krishna's way of moving and smiling. Krishna's way of looking at them and beholding them, Krishna's speech and his other distinctive features, deeply immersed in thinking of Krishna and becoming mad by remembering Krishna's pastimes, the gopis declare to one another, I am Krishna. Aham Krishna. Namo Narayan. I am Narayan. So Jiva Goswami, he has some comment on this verse number 3. He says, this verse describes the gopis' absorption in Krishna. And that's certainly desirable. We would like to be so absorbed in Krishna that we're mad. I pray for that. In the material world, no one prays to cry. Oh, please, I want to cry. Make me cry. No one prays for agony. No one prays for lamentation. No one prays for this misery. Or no one prays for madness. Does anyone pray, please bless me, I go mad. Then everybody will really like me. I'll be so popular and have so many friends and have such a good time in society. When I get locked up in solitary confinement in a psychiatric hospital. He's mad. He's a madman. But this is what we find in the Gaudiya Vaishnava, that Raghunath Das is praying for and experiencing nothing but lamentation. And all their Goswamis are rolling on the banks of Yamuna and Shyamakund and Radhakund crying, Haradhe Brajadevi Ke Chalalite. They're only crying. When you read about the siddhas and the perfected devotees that have attained perfection in bhakti bhajan or showing that example of sadhana siddha, what are they showing? They're crying. They're lamenting. They're mad. And they are exemplars. They are our role models that we should strive to become like them. Yes, I want to cry all day and I want to lament. And I just want to pull my hair out and I want to go mad. Oh, very good, Bhakta. Yeah, very good. I mean, we've seen many mad people come, but they weren't spiritually mad. They're mad in some other, this unfortunate way, misfortune. And by Krishna's mercy, many of those mad people become a little sane, become Krishna conscious, and then as they make more advancement, again, they become mad. So from madness, from insanity to sanity to insanity. So insane as a materialist and a crazy whatever, a young whatever, you fill in the blank, and then become Krishna conscious and sattvic and brahminical and somewhat peaceful and cool-headed and a little less lusty and a little less greedy and a little less angry and envious. Not much, but a little. And then you maybe make progress after 3,000 years. And then when you're really advancing, then you realize, God, where's Krishna? I want to see Krishna. Where's Radharani? And then, he joined 30 years ago. He was mad. And again, he's become mad. It must be in his sons. It must be congenital. Madness is in his genes. Once a madman, always a madman. It's okay to be mad for Mahaprabhu, mad for Krishna. But any other kind of madness is just maya. Shiva Goswami Pad continues, being absorbed in Krishna, the gopis imitate Krishna's movements, smiles, glances, and speech of their beloved Krishna. In this line number one, we have Adi. Gati smita prekshana bashan adi shu adi. Adi means Adi Lila, beginning, starting point. Of course, where's the beginning and where's the starting point? Since it's all eternal. But anyway. So that's why Jiva Goswami doesn't give that translation here in the 10th canto, chapter 30, verse 3. The translation of the word Adi is in consonance with his translation of verse 111, or 1-1, whatever it is. Canto 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Janmad yasya yataha itaras charesh vigyo surat. He says, Janmad Adi, first line. The Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Verse 1. Janmadadi. This is a Vedanta Sutra. Janmadadi. And he comments, Janma means, in other words, from Krishna's birth, beginning with Krishna's birth, that's external. Beginning with Krishna's birth, and throughout his whole life will be spoken here, and ultimately in the Bhagavatam, and all his different descents, and all his different forms and appearances. But Jiva Goswami, right there, in the very first verse of the first canto, first verse, chapter 1, he starts explaining that this word, Janmadadi, you know, this first word, says Adi means beginning. What does beginning mean? Beginning means primordial, eternal. And what is the most eternal substratum? What is the most eternal substratum foundation of the entire existence? It's the amorous love of Radha and Krishna. So the Adi in this verse, number one, Adi means Adi Ras. Adi Ras means the original Ras. Oh. And the original Ras is Madhurya Ras, because every other Ras is just a little bit less than that. And then Vatsalya Ras and Sakhi Ras and Sakhi Ras and Dasi Ras. And so the full expression of Ras and frame and love with Krishna and his beloveds is in the Madhurya Ras, in Dwarka, in the Swakya, my wives, my queens, and in the Parakya, Madhurya Rasa Vrindavan, which is my beautiful Prayasis, my loving gopis. So that was in the first canto. Now in the 10th canto, again, he's indicating, now we're actually talking about the gopis and talking about Krishna. Gati smita prekshana vashana adishu. So he says, what does this adi mean? Because in the Sanskrit, and the translation, Shuka Muni's idea is, listen, Parikshit, I want to explain, because I'm telling you, chapter 30 and 44 verses, I'm going to tell you what's going on. Where's it? So he's explaining in this first line that Adi means Krishna, that are absorbed, that indicates Krishna's amorous activities. And Vibram means that they started imitating Krishna. Because here it says, line 2, Pratiruta Murtaya. The gopis are imitating Krishna with their entire bodies and all their senses. Murti means their entire murti form. And they have attained this state internally and externally. Although they are ladies, Avala, they should have imitated other women, but now they're imitating Krishna. And they say to each other, I am he. I am that fellow. I am that fellow performing pastimes whom you desire. So the gopis start thinking, oh, I am that person that you want to perform pastimes with me, and you desire to enjoy the rasa with me. That's me. This is madness. The gopis are speaking like this. And then they say, so then it says in, they perform pastimes like Krishna, Krishna Vihara Vibram, or they are bewildered by Krishna's pastimes. So it can go different ways, one of the lines of the verse. They identify with Krishna because that is the nature of activities and prema. That's what prema is all about. When you study the prema tattva, there's sneha, man, rag, anurag. So one of this pranaya is called sneha, man, pranaya, anurag. So pranaya means my pran, my life essence, my very existence, my life force is merged in your life force, because we talk about oneness and the amorous affairs of the husbands and wives. We'll say, let's say that they have union, or they come together in the oneness, but it's physical oneness and mental oneness, but oneness of prana, that's quite extraordinary, because prana is the very basis of existence, which keeps the atma in the body. The binding link with this body and the atma is the prana. So pranaya is intense love, where the gopis fully identify that Krishna, you're breathing in, I'm breathing in. You're breathing out, I'm breathing out. Your vital air, your five life airs, and apan, udan, and prana, your five pranas, they're mine. As you move, as you think, as you breathe, as you desire, as you feel, that's me. So this is that's one level of the love of the gopis, sneha, man, pranaya, then rag, higher than that, rag, anurag, bhav. So this is indicated here that they are feeling, they identify like that. And this is the nature of activities and love, Jiva Goswami says. Rupa Goswami says this anubhav, this they're experiencing, is called lila. There's different, not lilas in pastimes, but a particular anubhav. Lila means, the word lila in terms of rasa as a separate term, it means imitating the lover. Imitating the lover by wearing his garments, wearing his clothing and actions. And you see in the Krishna Bhavanamrita description of Krishna's eternal pastimes, that sometimes Krishna dresses up Radharani as Krishna. And then there's two Krishnas inside the kunja. And the gopis come in, like, oh, that rascally. He did some kind of voodoo or did some kind of magic on Radharani, and he turned our beautiful Radharani into Krishna. And Radharani was no longer golden color. She was blue, and she had a turban and a flute and everything, and everything like Krishna, Kostuba money, everything. And so they said, how do we know? And some of the gopis said, I think this one's, they're both sitting like yogis in a kunja. And that they're meditating. The two, one was Radharani, fully dressed as Krishna, by Krishna himself, he dressed her. And then Krishna said, let's play a joke on the gopis, a costume party. You wear a costume and, who am I? I don't know. Who are you? Like this. So they are both dressed up as Krishna and Radharani. And the gopis are speculating, I think it's this one. I think it's that one. And they say, Radharani, why? Then they... Lita says, I think it's this one. And then she says, Radharani, what happened to you? And then Krishna, she's actually speaking to Krishna. But now Krishna, he's God. So he imitates Radharani's voice, her same voice, Krishna. Krishna's in the form of Krishna, Radharani's in the form of Krishna. You with me? Inside the kunj, and the gopis are bewildered. There's two Krishnas in the kunj. There was only, when we left them, there was only one Krishna, one Radharani. Well, where did Radharani go, or what did he do? And And we didn't see her go anywhere. She must, this must be her, but he must have done some magic or tantra. What happened here? So then Krishna speaks with Radharani's voice. I can tell you. Oh, she's speaking. Oh, that's Radharani's voice. Oh, yeah, yes, this is Radharani. And then Lita says, well, how come you're totally turned into Krishna? Why didn't your voice become like Krishna's? And she said, and then Krishna, imitating Radharani's voice, Krishna said, oh, when Krishna was doing this, he just put me in a trance. He hypnotized me. Then he was moving his hands down my body and chanting some mantras to turn me into him. But at that time, I put my hand like this on my throat, and his mantras didn't contact my voice box. Krishna's very clever. He's Chalak. Chalak Krishna is very clever, very naughty liar. So that's why I have my voice is still there, but everything else is Krishna. Oh, well, what happened after that? And then Krishna imitating Radharani's voice. Listen, it's very confidential. It's very secret what Krishna did with me after that. But if you come with me alone, Lalita, if we go into your kunja, I will explain personally to you because I'm a little shy to say in front of all the other gopis. So please, and Lalita says, yes, yes, come on, Radharani. I want that rascal. I want to find out what he did. You know, we're going to really get back at him for this, you know. So then Krishna, in the form of Krishna, imitating Radharani's voice, they leave the kunja. Krishna leaves with Lalita. And Krishna said, I only go alone. So the other gopis stayed there. And they all gathered around Krishna in the kunj, who was actually Radharani, dressed as Krishna. And she was mum. They were saying, oh, Krishna, you rascal. You're just sitting there like some mystic stoic yogi. You're not speaking. You're just pretending you're meditating. It's all a ruse. It's all a drama. You're fake. You're fake from top to bottom. And why did you do this to our poor Avala Radharani? He's like, speak something, yogi. So he's not saying, because it's Radharani. And she has her voice. She's not going to pretend to be Krishna. She's never going to give up her voice. Krishna will do any kind of thing. He'll dress as women, talk as women, anything. And Radharani, she has stai rati, you know. She has a stai rati. Krishna can be any stai rati at any time. You don't know. Yeah, he's chanchal rati. His ratis are chanchal. He can this one or that one. So then Krishna says, listen, Lita. Now, and then Lita and Krishna thoroughly enjoy all the intimacies of Krishna and the gopis together and their amorous delights. And then Krishna says, listen, now you go and you tell the other sakis, you want to find out what happened to Radharani? Yes, yes, I can't tell you, but you have to go inside the kunja. And Radharani will tell you personally. She'll whisper in your ear. It's very confidential. Okay. Then Vishakha went inside. Then Krishna sat there. Vishakha sat next to Krishna, who Vishakha thought was Radharani. And Krishna put his arm on Vishakha's shoulder and then started brushing, oh, Vishakha. And then like this. And Radharani's voice, Vishakha says, you're showing your touch of your hand is something different. I know the touch of your hand, Radharani, but when your hand is touching my face, my cheek, it feels like Krishna. And Krishna is still imitating Radharani's voice. Then he says, yes, because it's me. A very beautiful pastime. It's in Krishna Bhavanamrita. It's also in my book, Radhakrishna Pastimes of Radhakund, in English. So this is Krishna Vihara Vibhrama. So Leela, in Ujjvala Neelamani, Rupa Goswami Pada says, Leela means imitating the lovers, his clothing, his actions, like this. So they fully identified with Krishna, Tadatmika. Vishnu Chakravarti Pada, he has a nice commentary. We can glance at that also. So this particular verse, 10.3, describes the mature state of the gopi's condition of unmad, which is an accelerated type of mahabhav, intense loving attachment in Madhurya Rati, Shringar Rati for Krishna. So they're absorbed in the way Krishna walks and all his characteristics. The gopis imitate Krishna. First, Vishnath explains the sequence of how it all happens. Because this is his comment. There are four key words in this verse, number 3 of 30th chapter. One is pratiruta and tadatmika and priya priyasya and vibram, which are significant. So Vishnath is addressing this. So first he's talking about this pratiruta. So pratiruta means the adiruta or the mahabhav. It's also called rudabhav. So therefore, because this word is there, he says that this verse indicates the mature or developed state of the gopis' condition of unmad, absorbed in Krishna. The gopis imitate the Lord. First, the actions of Krishna enter their senses and minds of the gopis. Then their bodies enter into various actions and qualities of Krishna. That's true everywhere. Before there's any action or any speech, there must be some movement or thoughts in the mind. And the sequence is thinking, feeling, willing. There's no thinking, you're dead. Because we're always thinking. Even when we're sleeping, body appears to be dead, but the thoughts are racing. So many thoughts. So he says this point. Then he talks about this tadatmika. Due to madness, the gopis lose all sense of distinction and consider I am Krishna. Krishna is me. As the gopis reach the topmost limits of tasting this rasa, they become taratmika in the sense that their atma, their selves, assume a likeness to Krishna, and they announce to each other, I am Krishna, asavaham. Now, there's a distinction here because, as I mentioned in the Advaitins, or the Kaivalyavadis or Brahmavadis, they say, Namo Narayan, I am Narayan, I am God, we are all God, God is one, everyone is God. And you can realize, when you finally realize, ah, Namo Narayan, I am Narayan. So they're saying, Tadatmika, I am Krishna, but there's a difference between a gopi saying, I am Krishna, and some Brahmavadi or Brahma wants to, identifying that I am Narayan. So he makes that distinction, Vishnu. He says that the gopis, they do not, when the gopis say, I am Krishna, they do not adopt the mood of a hungropasana, thinking that they are one with the Supreme. This truth is established by the word priya priyasya. As I mentioned, this is yugo. Priya means me, and priyasya means Krishna. So there's not oneness. So they're worship. I am Krishna, but I'm also me. Whereas the Advaitin thinks, I am Narayan, and that's it. There's no second. There's only one. There's oneness. So the gopis are saying, I am Krishna, see I walk, but I'm also me. Vishnath is mentioning that point. He says they've attained it. He says they do not adopt the mood of a hungropasana like the Advaitins or the Shaivites I mentioned, thinking themselves one with the Supreme. This truth that they're not doing that is established by the words and this verse, line 2. Priya priyasya pratiruta murtaya. They've attained a unique state of madness, vipram, in which they identify completely with Krishna in his pastimes. So this is a very nice point of Vishwanath on this verse. And we have a few words on this verse. One point for sadhakas, we're all sadhakas practicing, worshiping Radha and Krishna in our own method, in our own way, on our own path. But this gives an answer to how to attain, this verse gives an answer of how to attain absorption and spiritual perfection of human life. In other words, Krishna prema. Because what are the gopis teaching in this verse? To attain the perfection of Krishna Prem, they're showing by their personal lives and expression. The gopis are teaching us to attain absorption and spiritual perfection. One must do two things. one must be completely absorbed in the existence of Krishna. One must be completely absorbed in the existence of Krishna. Nam, Rup, Gun, and Leela. His form, qualities, and Leelas, and Dham. That's why Rupa Goswami, he talks about the Leela Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, and he says, come to Braj, come to Vrindavan and live in Vrindavan, Brajadham. And that is the foundation for which you can build the realizations and experience of Krishna's form and Krishna's qualities and Krishna's Leela and his Madhurya also. His Leela Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, all that sweetness of Krishna's form and pastimes and prema and Murli or Venu Madhurya can be experienced here in Brajadham. So this is a starting point. It's one of the five most important aspects. Come for a week, come for a day, come for a month or two, as much as one can stay in Brajadham. All of these things will, all these sanskars that moving in that direction to become totally absorbed in the existence of Krishna will start to take hold in one's mind and start to grow in one's consciousness. Second point they're doing, or teaching, that due to Krishna's separation or apparent absence from their vision, from one's vision, one must go mad with love for Krishna. We can understand, you can want to measure the degree of your individual attachment for Krishna. Oh, I like Krishna. I'm a devotee of Krishna. How to measure how much I'm attached to Krishna? How to measure? The gopis are giving us the measuring stick. How mad are we to see Krishna? The gopis are basically not seeing Krishna. They're separated from Krishna. Because seeing Krishna means everything that goes with that. Being with him, serving him, loving him, receiving his love. So it begins with you have to see the person you want to love. Because to see someone, they must be in your proximity, at least in full form. You may see in your mind or see in your meditation. That's also very good. But the gopis are not happy with that. They want Krishna. Because when he preached to them, when Krishna preached to the gopis, and he also did the same preaching to the Yajnapatnis in chapter 22 of the 10th canto, Krishna preached to them, oh, just go home and meditate upon me and try to see me in the depth of your heart. And by meditation, worshipping my murti form, and by meditation, and by doing your nine limbs of bhakti, you will see me, you will realize me. So that exact same verse, Krishna spoke to the gopis in chapter 29. Oh, why are you here in the middle of the forest with me? Why did you come? And which is tonight is the Rasa Purnima. The Rasa Purnima, the 10th canto, chapter 29 through 33, it's called the Maharas dance. And the yoga pit and all these things are going on at Govindastali, at the location of the old Radha Govinda Mandir is the actual place where all the gopis, they meet. It's a meeting place, a pit, and they all come together, yoga, and then Lalita does the Sakhi Arati and Gopi Arati, and then they begin their pastimes, Ras Leela. That's tonight, the Sharadiya Ras. This is the night. This is, as it says in different shastras, and also it's telling in the Krishna book, that the full moon night in India, we're not from India, but the full moon night of the Sharadiya season is considered the most, is considered in shastra by acharyas and in India as the most beautiful night of the year. Tonight. So don't sleep. Dance with Krishna throughout the night. You're in Vrindavan. If he doesn't call you with a flute, then you're out of luck. And then you'll have to go tomorrow. But you'll miss the Purnima. So this is a very this is the right place to be at the right time, in the right place. The only thing missing is the right consciousness. That's a tough one. That's a very difficult one to attain, but we're working in that direction. So they're teaching us that ultimately you come in Vrindavan and stay as much as you can. And the more, what I've found in my own romance with Vrindavan, which began in 1977, was my first visit for about 15 days. And then I came back in 1980, and then every year after that since, and sometimes twice a year. What I found is that just that time in 1977 created a certain type of madness in me, not madness to be absorbed in Krishna's Naam, Rupa, Guna, and Leela. No, not that type of madness that the gopis have at Prema, but the madness which I experienced by my first visit in 1977 as a 27-year-old bhakta was that this place is very special, and it entered deep in my mind and heart. When I left, I was just going a little bit mad. Mad for what? Not mad to see Krishna, mad to serve Krishna, not that advanced, but just mad to go back to Vrindavan. I have to go back to Vrindavan. And that madness to go to Vrindavan, visit Vrindavan, and increased more and more. One visit a year became two visits a year, and two and two and two, and then it became 15 days in 1 month, and then one month, one time, and then two times, one month, and then finally it became like half the year I was staying in Vrindavan. And going back, because I was temple president and many kinds of things like this, you can't stay, you try to stretch as much as you can. I certainly did. But then finally the madness came up so much. And even it was like that when I would leave. I said, I can't leave. It's ripping me apart. I can't stand again on this airplane, fly to New York. And I land in New York. I have to go back. Vrindavan. Like the rickshaw wallahs in the Mathura train station. Vrindavan. They call you when you get off the Taj Express coming from Delhi. Vrindavan, they say three times. Vrindavan. Now you all come in big AC cars and sleep in the back seat. But in the old days, we came by train and Tunga, 1977, or no auto rickshaws. You get a horse cart and you ride from a tour. It's very nice and very slow and very uncomfortable. So I see that. That's why I'm saying Braj, visiting, or what to speak, living a long time. The more you contact Braj, the more you become mad to live in Braj. And when you finally, somehow, by the grace of Guru and Krishna and Radharani, you live, get the fortune and opportunity to live in Braj, then Braj works its magic and you become more and more mad and separation. I have to see Krishna. And that madness creates a tremendous purification, just the madness to see Krishna. Forget about being absorbed in his form. Well, that's also part of it, wanting to see him. But his leelas, that's a very deep state of consciousness to remember leelas and enter there. So this is proof that what they're saying, the gopis are teaching that we have to be complete. First two points they're teaching to be about perfection, how to attain perfection in Krishna consciousness. So they're teaching two points in this juncture of the Ras Lila, to attain a perfection of human life, which everyone knows is loving service of Radha and Krishna. Usually we say, we grew up by saying, Krishna Prema. Anyone avoids these 10 offenses, they will attain Krishna Prema. That's a fact. What life? I don't know. First of all, what life will we stop making offenses? First question is, what life will we stop making offenses? And then when that life comes, then in those succession of offenseless lives, which of those succession of offenseless lives will we attain the coveted and cherished Krishna Prema? And so now we realize that Krishna Prema is good, is desirable, we should try, but even better than Krishna Prema is Radha Krishna's Prem Seva. We want Radha Govinda Yugo Prem Seva. So this tweaking of our prayojan, or our sadhya. Sadhya means goal, sadhana, sadhya. The tweaking or adjustment, fine-tuning of our sadhya. Oh, I want to attain Krishna Prema, Acha. I want to attain Radha Krishna Yugal Seva. Because our angle is, of course, Radha Sneha Adik, more affection and love for Radharani. But serving Radharani means bringing Radha and Krishna together. That's the ultimate service. And serving them when they are together. And when they're separated, somehow bringing them together. So Radha Govinda Yugal Seva, that's the goal. And those that follow the path of Rag Marg, or going in that way, and interested, they will understand that I want this. I want Krishna, but I want Radharani more, and I want them to be together. So we are Radha Krishna Upasakas. We say Radhe Radhe, and we so much glorify Radharani and worship Radharani, but it doesn't go just there. Because if you just go to Radharani, she say, where's Krishna? Bring me Krishna. Oh, I just want to worship you and chant Radhe Radhe Radhe. Get lost. Go find Krishna. Go chant Radhe Radhe in the forest, and you'll find Krishna very fast. Because anyone's wandering in the forest in Vrindavan saying, Radhe Radhe Radhe, you're not going to meet Radharani. Day and night, you can wander through this forest. Radhe Radhe, kotai go, prema Radhe Radhe, prema mai, Radhe Radhe. You won't meet Radharani, you'll meet Krishna. Krishna comes and says, you're shouting day and night, I can't sleep. What do you want? I want Radharani's darshan. Okay, take it, man. What about me? Okay, you too. Stand together. Ah. Madhurya Kadambini, when you see the beloved, you faint. And then Krishna holds your hand or Krishna whispers in your ear. Very beautiful. The eighth shower. Ashtama Varsha. The eighth shower of Madhurya Kadambini is worth reading again and again and again. That's describing the experience of praying for the Sakya Bhakta, the friendly lover of Krishna, or the servant, or the parental lover, or the conjugal lover. Very beautiful, unbelievable. You study? I've said so many times, because I want that. And we all want that. So be completely absorbed in the existence of Krishna's form, qualities, leelas, and dham, his associates, and everything. And leelas, and then so absorbed that you're feeling Krishna's separation or the apparent absence, and then you must go mad in love for Krishna. So as in terms of anubhav, which means experience, anubhav. Bhav means like existence, and what existence I'm experiencing. So just in a mood of frankness, I can say that by the mercy of Dham Kripa, Guru Kripa, Radharani Kripa, Brijvasi Kripa, I feel myself year by year becoming a little more mad and mad to see Radharani and see Krishna. Madness to the point of crying in separation, sometimes maybe some fake tears, but something. Fake tears are better than no tears in your privacy, not you go on this out in public. Do you follow my line of thought? So it's not anything within us. It's because if you live in the holy Dham of Vrindavan, I think we can have some ground to stand on to speak about this, since this is my 31st year in Vrindavan, continuous residence. And I can see that if you somehow, at least I can comment from my own experience, if you play it right, love everyone around you, serve them, don't offend anyone, never yell at anyone, and keep a consistent track record of patience and tolerance and love and appreciation with everyone, and the animals, and that eventually the Dham opens up to you or to us, and to create a certain effect, transforming effect in the heart and mind, and it all goes in the right direction. So I'm a big advocate of Jaya Jaya Radhe, Jaya Jaya Sham, Jaya Jaya Sri Vrindavindam, Pavana Radhe, Pavana Sham, Pavana Sri Vrindavindam. I often sing this because I have experienced this. So it's sweet. Everyone knows it's very sweet. It's our theme song for those lovers of Braj, like all of you and all of us. This is text 3 of chapter 30, 10th canto. Gati smita prekshana bashana dishu priya priyasya pratiruda murtaya asavaham twit yabalas taratmikan yavedishu krishna vihara vibrame. Translation. Well, this time we have been reading this from this BBT translation. Now we'll read from the Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada's translation of this verse number 3. Being so very much attracted to Krishna, the gopis begin to imitate Krishna's dancing, Krishna's walking, and Krishna's smiling as if they themselves were Krishna. Due to Krishna's absence, all the gopis become crazy. Each one of them begins to tell the others that I am Krishna himself. This is Prabhupada's translation. A couple of words. And this verse describes how the gopis are experiencing qualitative oneness with Krishna, Tadatmika, and at the same time, they're experiencing their quantitative difference. Because in one line they say, it says Atmika. First line says Priya Priyasya. So Priya Priyasya means difference. So there's the Priya Gopis and Priya Jirada and Priyatam. So next verse they say Tathatmika, which means there's no difference. I am that. I am he. I am Krishna. So there are both things going on. Qualitative oneness, and at the same time they experience quantitative difference. Lord Chaitanya's philosophy is indicated in this concept of Priya Priyasya. Simultaneously, Achintya Beta Beta Tattva, simultaneous oneness and difference. Thus, Shukamuni says that this whole beautiful pastime all means Vibram. It's a case of mistaken identity. This whole pastime of the gopis searching for Krishna, he uses the word Vibram, which means bewilderment, which means a case of mistaken identity. So by exhibiting Krishna's movements and smiles and glances and amorous gestures, the bodies of the Prayasi gopis become like, just like their beloved Priyatam. Fully absorbed in Krishna, the Braja gopis, Brajaramanis, they declare, I am Krishna. So this is the conclusion of our discussion of verse 3. And tomorrow, by the mercy of Krishna and Guru, we'll speak on verse 4. Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana Ki Jai.